genuine. It's just genuine. I don't know.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits, and welcome into another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today, quickly becoming a series regular, if you will, is the one and only Lexa White. What's happening, Lexa?
Doing just fine. I've managed to come back from my spinoff series to show up consistently.
Yeah, hey, you know what? That's how it goes, and we're glad to have you today. So, today, we are going to be discussing some different topics than we normally do here on this show, and a little bit more in depth than maybe what we normally do with these topics. And the first thing we're going to talk about is some recent reveals. We're going to discuss that. And then also we're going to talk about the recent team tournament that happened, and it was a lot of fun. So I felt like we should all discuss that a little bit, and we can talk about our lists and some of the tactics and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also, we're going to discuss the kind of end of Season 4. So the actual tournament for Season 4 of the TTS League is going on currently. And you and I, Alexa, both played in Season 4. And we're going to discuss kind of what Season 4 was like for us and what the tournament is going to look like for the Season 4 of the TTS League. And I think that's about it. But that's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, so let's get into it.
That's right. And I've been watching Letterkenny lately. I don't know if you've watched that, but...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What is that? Pitter-patter, let's get at her?
Yeah, pitter-patter.
That's right, yeah. I'm really enjoying that show. Anyways. Oh, yeah. Anyways. So, first up, let's talk quickly about the revealed sculpts for Iron Fist and Luke Cage. Lexa, what are your thoughts on those two sculpts?
I think they're solid. I like the Iron Fist one fairly well, though I am missing the V-neck.
Right.
And the Luke Cage one is fine.
Yeah, you know, honestly, when they first showed it, the little Dragon Fist thing, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. And I know there's people out there that are going to see that and say, why couldn't you just give us a regular fist and then let us do the dragon embellishment on our own or whatever and have that like as an option or something? But I'm okay with it now that I've seen it, because I like he's like leaping and punching with the dragon fist thing. Like, that's just, it looks kind of cool, honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
it's a very dynamic pose.
It is very dynamic, and it also looks very brittle. So keep an eye on that.
What else is new?
Right, exactly. But I'll take a dynamic pose any day of the week. So, next up we have Luke Cage. And for me, I honestly really like that Luke Cage pose quite a bit. Because it's understated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it totally conveys the character. Standing there with his arms crossed, crushing an iron beam. You know, it just works for me.
Yeah.
You know, subtlety is okay sometimes in these models, and I think Luke Cage nailed it.
Yeah.
So, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
fair enough.
Let us know, suits, what you guys think about these two sculpts. We'd love to hear from y'all. And next, let's discuss the team tactics talk that was released for the Deadpool and Hydra Bob pack, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Lexa, there was a pretty sweet card in that one.
Yes. So, it's a card called Pretty Sneaky Sith, and it's during the power phase, any number of X-Force characters may spend 2 power each to play this card. Then enemy characters must be within 2 of characters that spent power to target them with attacks this round.
Wow.
Functionally, it is the same as a card called Shadow Organization for the Criminal Syndicate affiliation. Right. And that card's pretty solid. It's not the best card in the game, but it's not bad either. It's strictly medium. And I expect this to be strictly medium as well.
I actually expect this to be different just based on an assumption. And that assumption being that you're going to have more characters playing at range with the X-Force than you do with Criminal Syndicate.
Fair.
So Criminal Syndicate right now, we've got Kingpin as the leader, and he obviously wants to be right up in the thick of it. Then you've got Bullseye, who no one uses, and then I say hey. No one uses. I know. I personally like Bullseye. I think he is underutilized. I think playing him in such a way to just chip damage is not a bad thing, but we can talk about Bullseye another time.
Yeah.
But then you've got MODOK, who plays really great at range, but when you close the distance on him pretty easily. And then you've got Taskmaster, who everything he does is range 2, except he has a shield throw, but do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then you've got Green Goblin, who plays at that longer range, but also has to get in close to do things. You know? So I say all this to say, I know that Criminal Syndicate has some ranged characters, but I feel like that the way this is presented, it just seems to me like it's going to be more built around characters that play a different kind of game than what Syndicate plays.
Yeah. My kind of rebuttal to that is as this effectiveness is more determined by the range of your opponent's attacks than the range of your attacks.
100%.
I have found.
100%. I can see that. And I think it's also one of those cards that's very situational, and we'll have to see kind of what comes out with the rest of these cards. I mean, we know in this panel to play, they also talk about the Yoink card and the, which we've already seen before, but quickly we can go over that again, where Deadpool gets to spend 2 power and he has to pick from 1 of 4 different effects, and it's all crazy stuff. Like, I'm not going to read all the stuff because it's an insane amount of text, but it depends on what ally is near him. He gets to do different things. Mm-hmm. And then they also talk about the Chimichangas card, which I don't think we've talked about on the show, but Chimichangas, Deadpool can spend a power, add a Chimichanga objective token to the game. Deadpool is holding this token at the end of a character's activation. If it is holding a Chimichanga token, it gains 1 power and may remove 1 damage or 1 special condition. Any character may use the following interact ability to interact and pick up the Chimichanga token. I can't Chimichanga talk today.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that's one I'm actually really, really excited about.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really great.
I think that instantly pushes Deadpool into Criminal Syndicate.
Why is that?
Because using your ability, it counts as an objective token.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pass it off to other characters, and so you can give it to like a Kingpin, giving him an extra power for damage reduction and a heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that would be very dirty.
Yeah, that could be really great. So I think that's a really nice catch on that one. So anyways, all of these cards sound very interesting, and like Yoink, I encourage people to go read the panel to play because the actual text for Yoink is there. It's a lot. So
yeah,
basically Deadpool gets to do fun stuff based on who's around him. But this Pretty mm-hmm. Sneaky Sis, back to that, because that's kind of the main one that's a new one for us. And
yeah,
I kind of like it. I get the idea, and it all depends on what else is coming with Deadpool and how you build your squad out and the X-Force and all that stuff. But I could see it being really useful and forcing, if you're playing against a squad that is playing off, you know, playing further back, playing further away, then it can be really useful. And I think it could be nice tech that is unexplored for Criminal Syndicate as well, simply because, mm-hmm. as, you know, I play as Web Warriors mainly right now. I am going to be mixing that up at some point. But
yeah.
But you get to, you have these characters like, so Peter Parker has impact webbing where he'll get to gain 1 power. And Same thing with Gwen. She has that. And then other characters have things from further away ranges. And I think that it could be really strong against squads like that, that while mainly they play up close if they get an opportunity to attack, they also have abilities that are very useful and very critical for their utility at those more medium to longer ranges. So, I don't know. I could see it being more useful, and I could see it as a card that's a little bit undervalued currently.
Yeah, I see it a lot as a play into a Shui.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definite. And honestly, if I see MODOK across the table, I think it's also a good play.
Fair.
Because MODOK wants to stay a little further out most of the time, so keeps him safe. Anyways, I digress. Anyway. I think we'll have to see how it plays, but it's a card that I am excited for and intrigued by, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, next up, Lexa, let's get into our main topics today, because I didn't forget anything spoiler-wise, right?
Not that I know of.
Yes. All right. I was hoping we would get like actual Deadpool card or Cable and Domino card today, but of course not.
No.
Of course not. No. So, next up, let's go ahead and discuss kind of the main topics of today. And let's start with talking about Season 4 of the Tabletop Simulator League. So, Lexa, what was your list like in that?
I was running my patented Thanos Spider Foes. I had a pretty bad time, a mix of unlucky dice, me forgetting rules, and me making mistakes.
So, that's how it goes, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not a forgiving list.
Right, so how is it not forgiving for you? Like,
it's you're running on so few activations that you have to maximize each activation, or else you're... The errors that you make end up costing you so much more of your resources than in a 5 activation list because you only have 3 activations most of the time.
Right, right. Yeah, I can see how that would be pretty forgiving. And yeah, it was a good, I know going into it, you were pretty confident, and I know Jacob from the Xavier Protocols was using a bit of your list, right?
He was certainly at least interested in my list and thought it had a lot of good ideas.
Okay, I know someone else was actually using that. Vince.
The Cook-Off.
That's right. So, how did he end up doing? I didn't even see.
I have not checked in on him.
I've got it right here. It's 3-3. He went 3-3.
Fantastic.
So... yeah, it's one of those things where I think that MCP, by and large, is so volatile with the dice, and I think it's a good thing. I don't use that as a negative, but I think that MCP is so volatile with the dice at times that even someone with a really good strategy and with a quote-unquote strong list can be susceptible to... the dice.
Yeah.
And I mean, they are the great equalizer after all.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think that it's a game that just, when you build these like specifically tuned lists, they do get a little bit unforgiving, like you said. And I know for me personally, there were a couple of things, just a handful of things that I forgot at times that would have made all the difference in my games.
Oh, yeah.
And what was something that you specifically like that was like a big thing that you forgot?
My very first game, my opponent went up with Angela, attempted to flip Krikor, got it, and then moved back. And I completely forgot until like 4 hours later, after the game had ended, that you can only move once with per round with Krikor.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would have changed everything.
Yep.
Just that one little thing, because then she's right there.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. And I also noticed that Dash Guard is a thing.
Oh, it is a thing.
We can discuss that at a later time on the podcast. But for those of you that don't know, Dash Guard is basically grab as many extracts as you can and quote unquote dash away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing. And I ran into it in the team tournament league a little bit. So for me, Lexa, I ended up going 3-3. And it's funny because I feel good about my 3-3. At first, my first two matches, I was really disappointed in, one, my play, but also my dice. Like, my opponents played well, and I don't want to take anything away from them. They played really great, but it's nearly impossible to do anything when you maybe get one spike a game. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like okay, everybody's going to spike at some point in a game, and usually if you roll so many dice, they're going to flatten out, if you will.
Yeah.
But for me, it felt like in these first two games, I literally could not hit any rolls. And if I did, it was too little too late.
Yeah.
And that's just really punishing. And that, I think, speaks to a part of the game where it's like playing in these uber competitive things with this stuff, which the TTS League isn't, I wouldn't say uber competitive, but it's pretty competitive. And playing in these things, I think you have to go into it with just a sense of play for fun, because it's really hard, I think, to feel good when the dice just hit hard like that, like when they just don't hit the way you need them to, you know?
Yeah.
And in this list, so I, like I said, I went 3-3. I was playing my main Web Warriors that most people have heard me talk about before, you know, all the Web Warriors except Venom, because I'll talk about that later. And then some Defenders characters, basically, with Strange. Yeah. So that's what I was running most of the time. And the first three matches, anyways, that's all I had on the table was the Web Warriors. And then in the next three matches, because at the midseason point, we got to change our rosters up a little bit, I ended up doing like X-Men Web Warriors and playing exclusively Storm's X-Men with the Web Warriors characters. And that's when I went 3-0.
Huh.
Yeah. So it was pretty interesting because it just changed up how I played a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a different way to play, and it was a lot of fun. And also, you know, I think that like middle table is probably where I belong most of the time anyways.
Yeah.
But I found some interesting things with using Web Warriors characters in Storm's X-Men. And one of them is that, I mean, it just really helps their defensive abilities, being able to just change one to cover. And it's also really nice, like, if Miles is holding an objective token, or Peter or Gwen or any of them, you know, you can really have some fun with those characters.
Yeah.
Especially Hammers. I played a lot of Hammers, and it's so much fun with them.
Mm-hmm.
What about for you? Any other thoughts on Season 4 of the TTS League?
I'm kind of very excited for the stuff that's coming in between Season 4 and Season 5.
And what's that?
So first up is the Beta Splendor League, which is happening right now. You've missed your chance to sign up. But it's something they did in between the last two leagues, and it's a no list restriction, you can change it each week type league, where they do different other types of restrictions. So in this case, week one is dense terrain, week two will be sparse terrain, week three will be high threat scenarios only, and week four will be low threat only.
Okay, that sounds pretty fun.
I am very excited about it. This, I started out last year, my first tournament was Beta Splendor for Season 3. And I had so much fun.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that quite a bit. And in that one, they changed up like the Crisis stuff, right?
Yeah.
So this one, they're doing a little bit different, which sounds pretty good. And I like the idea of it as a way to kind of test things out.
Yeah.
And whatnot. What are you running this time?
So that's... I have about four or five teams that I'm looking at.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What are you leaning towards?
I'm probably going to play different lists for different weeks. It's kind of my first big thing. I'm not sure quite what I'm playing this week because I need to do a little bit more thinking on it. But I have the options of the Thanos Inhumans list that I'm looking at.
That sounds wild.
Yeah, a Cabal list that is trying to go super wide.
Okay.
A Brotherhood list that is looking to go wide. This is a variation on the Wasp list that I did on Morlocks, and I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Okay.
And it's Magneto list Brotherhood as well.
No Magneto Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I have a unaffiliated list that is just looking to stack as many conditions on you as possible.
Absolutely. I love it.
And then most recent one, and the one I'm actually most excited to play, is inspired off of some conversation we had from the latest, which podcast was it? Strike Better podcast.
Yeah.
And it's a Doomed Prophecy Wakanda list that is looking to wait and spend all of its rerolls on when your opponent rolls zero dice with a bunch of the consistency low dice amounts but consistent power gain characters like Mystique and Agent Widow and Punisher. So it's like you wait till your opponent completely whiffs on defense and then you spend your power on rerolls there and try and get into 3 to 5 damage off of that attack.
Oh, okay. I see. That's interesting. That sounds interesting. A little bit risk-reward using Doom Prophecy there.
Yeah. Well, Doom Prophecy is just so because already have the Bomb package characters, so we can bring that in and also play Bomb alongside this other strategy that utilizes the low attack dice, attack compression setup that those characters are already hinging off of.
I gotcha.
And within that as well, I'm bringing in Crystal and Enchantress becomes beams also very good.
With
rerolls.
Yep, I get it. That sounds interesting. And I'll have to, I'm interested to see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I needed a break, so I didn't play in the Beta Splendids League or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I just, after doing the team tournament, which we're going to talk about here very soon, I just needed to take a bit of a break from the somewhat competitive play. And it sounds like it's a lot of fun, though, and I look forward to hearing the progress on that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun last season. I'm really excited for my first match tomorrow. As of recording, it will be done by the time this comes out. But also announced is in March, we're going to get a 4-week, there's going to be 2 different mini leagues going on, one for Battle Realms.
Oh, fun.
And then one for the pay to play draft format, which is the $100 draft.
Yeah, the draft was the bomb. It was so much fun.
I am super excited about that. And then season 5 will be May.
Yeah. And for the record, though, it's not, you don't have to pay $100 to play.
No.
It's just an auction and your budget is $100. But it's
exactly
fake $100.
Yeah. And it's going to be real interesting with the new characters that have come in by then.
Yeah.
Because it's late March, so we won't actually have any. So the current roster is what we'll have for that. But we've added She-Hulk, Angela, Enchantress, and all the Inhumans in the time between the last draft and this one.
Right, which at the point when that draft happened, there were enough characters to allow everyone to have something decent and also no characters to really be left out, so to speak.
Yeah.
And this time around, I think you might see some characters get left out. And you had characters at the end of the draft that just went for insane values, and like Peter Parker went for $4, and I think Venom went for like $4, you know, all this stuff. Like it ended up being really good, but like MODOK went for $40. So
yeah.
all of that to say that the draft is really fun, and I really highly encourage anyone that wants to do it to participate in that or to try to find something like that. If anybody wants the rules that's listening to this, just send us an email at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com or send us a message at Facebook, and we will get those rules to you so you can set it up for your own friends. Because it's a very fun format, and you end up playing with these lists that can be pretty janky. But
yeah.
I do think, though, that with adding in She-Hulk, Enchantress, Angela, all the Inhumans and stuff like that, one of the things that made it really great, and I think it was like a really like perfect time, was that you could end up having some crazy jank with it and not necessarily have like a really great affiliated list. And I think that we're getting to the point where everyone should pretty much be able to have an affiliation.
While true, everyone should. I think the volatility and personality drivenness that some of these drafts are will really change how draft to draft things go.
100%. 100%. So that's just an assumption I'm making, but at the same time, I definitely know that people are, yeah, it was a whole thing. This like rage drafting, this, oh, I'm not going to let you get that, so I'm going to bid it up even though I don't want it. All that good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very fun. So now, Lexa, let's talk about kind of what the finale of season 4 is looking like. And there is an article that got posted onto Across the Bifrost Nexus that I will give a shout out to here.
Mm-hmm.
From, I'm not sure, what's the author?
Gronko,
yeah. So he posted this kind of breaking down what these last 16 teams are, and he breaks down each of the matchups, which is fine. I encourage anyone to go read that. But basically, the thing I'm more interested in is kind of what made the cut, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's actually all pretty even. There's no one affiliation that went with more than three people taking an affiliation out of 16 people.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I find interesting is just how prolific Hired Muscle is.
Yep.
Because it's in all but three.
All but four, 75% of the list.
Yep, there you go. So all but four people took Hired Muscle, and we've talked a little bit about it on this show, and I'm going to try to discuss it a little bit more in depth another time, but it's really interesting to me because I understand the strength of the play. Like, I get how strong it is, but can it be that good? Like, can it be just that good is what I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around.
It's from my encounters with it, it's asking a set of questions that you need very specific counterplay for, that requires warping your list to have counterplay to it. There's not inherent counterplay in every list to this strategy. It's asking very particular questions of your list.
Right. And for anyone that doesn't know, basically Hired Muscle is you want to play something that has a citizen token. So Panic as evacuations continue, that's a really great one. Anything that has a civilian like person token, so the Spider Infected, also a very good one for this. Basically, someone moves up, uses Hired Muscle to pull all of those tokens and potentially even one that you think is quote-unquote yours at the start of the game, closer to them, and therefore closer to the opponent, and then they go grab them and run away.
Yeah. And specifically on evacuation,
yeah.
The Dash Guard Asgard list can get three of the tokens turn one if you don't have the counterplay for it, and then they do, because of their inherent power gen, they get 3, 6, 9, and then at the end of turn 2, they can cash out all three of theirs for another 6, so they only actually have to score 1 point on secure throughout the entire game to win the game at the end of turn 3.
Yeah, it's out of control. That is, I think, what everyone fears with Hired Muscle, specifically. And
yeah.
I think one of the things that that play comes down to is, you know, if you win priority, trying to pick something that isn't going to allow that play, but then Asgard's set up for that in a lot of ways. There's really great articles that people have written about it, so again, I encourage people to go check those out. But I find it really interesting that it's such a force in the meta, and I generally have felt like that list building and certain plays and stuff, that there hasn't really been a true meta, like one best thing, you know, the most effective tactics available. Like there, mm-hmm. I don't feel like that there's been a true meta in Marvel Crisis Protocol since it came out, really. Like there's been things that have been popular, things that have been good, but nothing that's universal gonna win every time.
Yeah.
And I still feel like that's the case overall, but I do think that this hired muscle thing is a little bit against the spirit of the game. What do you think about it?
That is a lot harder for me to determine. I think it's, how do I put this? I think without direct commentary from the developers, we can't really determine how intentional these first turn plays and the advancement and pressuring of first turn combos into the game is. And until I have that say one way or another from the actual developers of the game, I won't actually make a statement on how it feels in the spirit of the game, if that makes sense.
I think that's fair. I, however, have no scruples. Therefore, I will say that for me, I think that the spirit of the game is not to grab stuff and run away. And not that I have an issue with anyone doing that. Like, I want to go ahead and say that if that's how you play, and that's a strategy that works, well, then use it. By all means, that's fine. That kind of, I'm not bothered by someone playing that strategy. I want to make sure I make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm getting at is that from the jump, this game has been designed as quote-unquote superhero battles. You know, it's...
Yeah.
And you can look at it and say, well, it is that, but I've also made it an objective-focused game, so it's not really that. And it's like, yeah, I get that, but, like, at the end of the day, it is superhero battles, and there's objective play because the only way to win being tabling your opponent would be terrible.
Yeah.
So I get that. And I feel like that the idea of someone just snapping up tokens and running away is just, it just doesn't feel like what they set out as a superhero battles, you know, epic battles kind of game. And
yeah,
so that's why I say that. With that, though, I am going to be having some people on here before too long to kind of talk more about this stuff and whatnot. So I hope you guys look forward to that. What else stands out to you on these lists?
There are two specific lists that really jump out to me, and both of them are from the Wild Wild West. First is Samuel Sweetens, who has decided to pick up Inhumans, even though they released, a week and a half ago?
Yeah, so that was another thing. You can always change your list right before. There are certain predetermined points of where you can change your list, and right before the tournament starts, after the end of Season 4 is over, that's a point when you can change your list.
Yeah. And then also is Finger Guns running unaffiliated Thanos hired muscle shenanigans.
Yeah, what is that all about?
So it's using a 9-point Thanos to flex, to kind of push hard as your hired muscle piece, because he's so tanky between Reality Gem and just his natural damage reduction that leaving him out as the hired muscle target is generally not going to result in a dead character like it might if you left, like, a Loki, which is generally the piece that Dash God leaves out, against an attrition list. And then it is using that for hired muscle shenanigans. I don't know the full details of the list, but I find it kind of fascinating.
Yeah. Running an unaffiliated 9-point Thanos, that just sounds wild.
So his full list is Angela, Enchantress, Medusa, MODOK, Mystique, Toad, Valkyrie, Thanos, and then Reality and Time Gem.
Okay, Reality and Time. So you get an extra activation with Thanos. That makes sense.
Which or also means you can get him safer.
Yeah. That sounds really wild, and I'm really interested to see how that one plays out, because that's very unconventional, and mm-hmm. I like that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, next up, Lexa, let's go ahead and move over and talk about the team tournament, which both you and I were a part of.
Yes.
So, I'll let you start on this one. What were your thoughts about the format first?
I had so much fun. I think a lot of that was also because I had just a lot of fun talking with my teammates.
Yeah.
I was playing alongside Abby, or AJP2, who is the admin for the Oceanic region. And then Mike Field May, who was just the person who reached out to me because I was on the Rogue Agents kind of tab of the, like, hey, I'm looking for a team. And he's the one who reached out to me. And he's a really great dude. I'm actually having him on Morlocks later in the month. And it was a fun time. And so we covered three different countries in our team. Three different continents on our team.
That's pretty awesome. Figuring out the time was pretty tough then, huh?
It was all easy because I'm Night Crew, so I'm basically on a flip schedule anyway. So I'm pretty close to UK time.
Oh, right, yeah.
So Abby was really the only one out of sync from a normal schedule.
Nice.
But it was, we called ourselves the world finest in a good DC Comics reference in a Marvel tournament.
Obviously.
Obviously. But well, yeah, we had a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. The format for me was really great. I played with, Quote the Raven, Quote My Name, you know, QTR, Quote My Name on the Discords. Mm-hmm. I played with him and a guy named Shane, and Quote My Name I've interacted with a couple of times here and there. Shane I hadn't really interacted with at all, but we kind of took it very casually in that we didn't expect to particularly do well, and we didn't have like a straight up hardcore strategizing session, if you will, where it was like, okay, here's the matchups we're trying to target and this and that. And we would just kind of, we all built our lists and said, hey, what overlap do we have here? What affiliation are you trying to take? What are you trying to take? But the format was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed the going into the little pregame room to determine matchups and stuff like that and terrain and everything. Mm-hmm. I thought that was all very fun. And also for anyone that's interested, suits out there that's interested in the team tournament rules and stuff, that's in the Discord, the Marvel Crisis Protocol TTS Discord. But if anybody's interested in that and they are having trouble finding it, just reach out to me at the usual places and I can send the information to you, because if it's something you're wanting to do locally also, I think it's very fun.
Yeah.
So, Lexa, when you were getting with your team about your list building and stuff like that, how did y'all kind of determine who was bringing what? Did y'all have it where you were like, all right, who wants, you know, I'm bringing this, what are you bringing? Or did y'all have more thought put into it?
It kind of started off with, what have we kind of been playing? What do we want to play? I was bringing, again, the Spider Thanos Rose, and this, with the intention of this kind of being a sunsetting of the list for the time being, I've done what I've wanted to do with it. I got the chance to do a roster doctor, which was a lot of fun. And then I've played it throughout the entire season, and I've been playing it for basically 4 months at this point, so I wanted to kind of move on to new things, as I talked about earlier. So this was very much a sunsetting of the list, and I will say, having so many, Spider-Verse list plays so many characters and gems specifically, that it makes the character, the 2 per character restriction on list creation a lot easier.
Well, yeah, because you're not having a ton of characters running around out there, so you don't need too many.
Yeah, and the things it values within characters is different than what a lot of lists value in characters. So, like, I take Rocket as my like de facto 2.0 rather than Okoye because it works better to the strategy with that I'm in. So I'm slightly shifting my sights and end up going on what a lot of other lists would see as secondary characters for their point value and using those as my but they work best in the squad.
Right, I get that. That's cool. Okay. So, yeah, and so this was the sun setting on the Thanos foes, huh?
For now. I will probably revisit it when new stuff comes out. Or later on when something inspires me to pick it up again. But for now, at least, I'm putting it aside to play with new toys.
I feel that. I feel that very much because I still enjoy my Web Warriors. I obviously am not a high-level player with them. And I get a little bit too... I was talking about this with one of my opponents. I get a little bit too bloodlusty at times. Where it's like, you know, kill him. Like, oh, he's only got 3 health left. I can do that last damage. I know I can. I know I can. 4 dice whiff. Terrible. Yeah. So, yeah, it's... So I get a little bloodlusty at times, even when I shouldn't with my Web Warriors. You know, but it's fun. At the end of the day, it ends up being fun.
Yeah,
so,
I'm specifically looking at playing wide teams upcoming so I can get used to playing objective because I've been playing such a bloodlusty team for so long.
Yeah, I need to refocus my efforts on objective play, and I've been doing that a lot better, like towards the end of Season 4 of the TTS League, and then again in this, I played a little bit more into that objective, and on the team tournament in terms of matches, I went 1-3, or yeah, 1-2. So I won one of them and lost 2 of them. One was my second match was very close. Like it was literally I forgot about one rule. So it's one of the things that's interesting. I played my Web Warriors with Doctor Strange, right, as much as possible, and I tried some Lockjaw shenanigans in there as much as possible because I went into it with I'm going to just goof off. And I've had Venom, so that's a thing. I'll discuss that in a second. And anyways, so Doctor Strange ended up getting, I think, dazed on a roll where... So I had, obviously, Web Warriors, and Doctor Strange has Eye of Agamotto, and... It's so easy to forget that, oh yeah, I'm going to reroll all of these dice and then, oh, I didn't have the necessary successes and forget about your Web Warrior reroll with Doctor Strange. At least I have found that to be very easy to forget. And it's another interesting thing is you could use the Web Warrior reroll on Doctor Strange before you use his Eye of Agamotto if you've already got like 1 or 2 successes. Mm-hmm. So it's just... That sequence was difficult at times for me, but I digress. To your point of moving on from kind of your home, so to speak, I think I'm about ready to play something different as well. Not that I don't love my Web Warriors, I still do, and I'm still going to play them, but I'm ready to explore some other stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And this team tournament, I think, was a very good... example of other things I want to explore. But with that being said, I still do feel like that there's space for me to grow as a Web Warrior player. You know?
Yeah, I think this is a game where you will never stop learning, but it's what point do you feel like you're satisfied with the knowledge that you have gained on a specific thing and want to learn new things?
Exactly. And I also got to say this. This is just a fun random thing. I've played She-Hulk... A-Force a couple of times, and both times I was able to drop She-Hulk pretty early.
Yeah.
That feels really good.
Oh, yeah. I'm playing a team with Incinerate on it, so She-Hulk and repositions that get around Star Wars Determination.
Right.
So She-Hulk does not like my team.
Yeah. I can imagine that she doesn't. Yeah. I think that... This is something that we'll have to talk about more on an after party later, but I think She-Hulk is very good, but also suffers from the Hulk problem of just being able to be focused down and everything. So that's a discussion for another time. But what during the team tournament, were you able to, once y'all had your were in the thing determining matchups and you saw what the other people were bringing, how much strategy went in for you guys to who played what? Did you have any like matchups you were trying to avoid or anything like that?
So it's the way the team tournament is actually designed, you can actually design one of your matchups basically.
Exactly.
And that makes it very interesting. I went 1-1-1.
You had a tie.
My last round, I had technical difficulties of connecting with my opponent because I was playing on the EU server. He offered a draw, which is what I'm unofficially considering it, even though because of how the format works, we can't really have a draw for functional reasons. So since I was the international player here, I offered to take the loss.
I got you.
But for personal record wise, I'm taking the draw that he offered and went 1-1-1.
Yeah, I got you.
So that was but then it was real interesting because I got masked up into Web Boys the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the game I won. I managed to do herb plays on them because Green Goblin is a good herb carrier, people.
Oh, yes.
And so I just won off of controlling the herb and them not really understanding how herb works.
I gotcha.
And then round two, I went into Asgard and Enchantress stole my herb.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was a 16-0 loss, but a lot closer than the score thread says because it was herb and origin bombs. So it was two all or nothing objectives, and there were a bunch of rounds where I was really close to getting the objective for the round and just missed.
Right. I get that, yeah. It's so funny how you can see that score on the table and be like, wait a second, I did not get blown out this bad. It was not that. It was not that. I know it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's. I hate it when that kind of thing happens. And it's funny that you say that because, like, my closest game, my middle game of the day was really close. And it was, I ended up losing, I think, 17 or 18 to 12. But the score spread was not that far in general. So I had two hammers on Gwen at one point and mm-hmm. all the setup for her to survive and just this like really weird dice spike thing happened and I messed up on one thing. I don't remember how it all went down, but like it was really weird turn of events that my opponent ended up scoring 6 points in a round. I scored only 1 point in a round. And it wasn't the final round, but I wasn't able to recover that gap.
Yeah, and that can happen.
Yeah, and then so it was against a Dash Guard kind of thing where that was the first matchup. Never mind. But in my first matchup, I had a Dash Guard situation. And what was funny about that is, so we were playing Hammers and I think Infinity Formula, and I effectively rendered Thor useless. So I'm
nice.
Happy about that. Yeah. So yeah. I did the thing. I've talked about it on the show before. And I think you and I have talked about it before, Alexa, where I'll set up and kind of like pick my engagement and see where my opponent sets their quote unquote big model at. And then I move away from it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always work out, admittedly. But I like being able to say, oh, you've put Thor over here on this side of the board, you're committing to this side of the board with Thor. Well, I'm going to not give you an opportunity.
Yeah.
At least for a round or two to do anything with Thor. And my opponent ended up just basically leaving Thor on an island by himself. And granted, he scored a point every turn, but like I was able to score a few points here and there. And Angela got two hammers and then ran off with him. And that was that. But it was a pretty fun play, and I had a chance to win, even though it felt like it wasn't. It was a foregone conclusion from the get go, like just the way it all kind of worked out. But it was a really fun matchup. Mm-hmm. Web Warriors into Asgard is a tough one, though.
Oh yeah,
this is very tough, and it's just because they're already power poor in a lot of ways, and then Asgard's so power rich that they can just go and grab those extracts and sit on those tokens, those secure tokens. It can get tough.
And they can also tax you on the pay to flip objectives on 100%.
Secure. 100%. Which is why I don't ever let them choose secure if I have an opportunity to, because I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
But I digress. And then the last matchup I had was against Mithrandir, and shout out there, because I've played him twice now, and both times some of the most enjoyable competitive matches that we've had. Like, it's so much fun, and he played A-Force, and I ended up being able to take out Crystal. I dazed Crystal turn one, and then, my main Web Warriors with Strange, except I had Daredevil instead of Peter, which is unusual for me.
Yeah.
And I was running Venom, which is also very unusual for me. And it ended up just working out pretty good, but I've been alluding to this like Venom thing throughout this whole episode, Lexa, and I think we're ready for it. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right. So, Alexa, you've been a longtime listener of this show, and I know there's plenty of people out there that have listened to the show for quite a while. What's a character that I don't particularly have much love for?
Venom.
Exactly. So, I understand why Venom is liked. He's a character as a Marvel character that I really like, and as a character at MCP, I understand why he is popular and why he is liked by a lot of people. But mm-hmm. I've said this a million times and I'll say it again. His weaknesses far outweigh the benefits, in my opinion, and at least in how I guess I play. And maybe that's more about me than it is about the character, but I tried everything I could do to get Venom to be a stud and to protect him. And he never got dazed. He never got KO'd. He got dazed once during the entire team tournament, but never got KO'd, had plenty of power. I had one match where I rolled 9 dice into somebody, and it just never seems to work out with Venom. Mm. Just never seems to. And it's like I had... So this was the play in my second round match that just turned the game, if you will. So I had Venom sitting on a ton of power. He played all webbed up. He then did a We Are Venom with 9 dice and had 1 success against Doctor Strange. So 1 success.
Yeah, that's way under.
Yes. And so I get that that's just a negative spike and I can't base everything off of that. But it just feels like that happens a lot. And so I had the, and that's not saying that I got one hit through. That means the die, I only had 1 hit.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And so then I got upset at myself for not having that. And I made a misplay. And the misplay was this. So right there, Venom didn't have any damage on him at the time. So I was just trying to get as many dice as possible. What I should have done was rolled a Symbiote Tendrils with the all webbed up 2 extra dice, so it would have been 7 dice Symbiote Tendrils, and then thrown something at him with my extra 3, because I had 3 power left after all that, because Venom was powered up.
Yep.
And thrown something. And I did not. I got angry, and I did We Are Venom again, and then I couldn't do anything else with Venom.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's, and I ended up having, like, I think, you know, an average roll on that ended up getting a few hits through, but definitely not enough. And that ended up being the turn in that Strange was able to Crimson Bands and then daze somebody else. So it just ended up crushing my turn in a lot of ways. But yeah. So anyways, all that to say, Venom is just so easily controlled with pushes, with that short move and everything. And he's so easy to play around with the quote-unquote Venom combo of being able to eat someone back. You know, we are Venom, so many snacks.
Yeah.
It's so easy to play around. And mm-hmm. it's such an expensive combo. Like, it costs you 5 power to so many snacks and we are Venom. So if you're sitting there with Venom and you have no power on him and he gets attacked at an opportunity to even do that, it's pricey and you have to bank on taking a ton of damage, which is never good.
Yeah. I have found a lot more success with Venom than you have.
Yeah.
Some of it is turning We Are Venom into an 11 dice attack.
That sounds great.
Death Decree.
Yep.
But I think a lot of what I really love about Venom is mostly that he has a range 4 reposition that is medium.
And that proved useful at opportune times, I guess you could say. Like, I don't want to undersell that because it is very nice to be able to reposition someone, especially medium, because they're not expecting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it just didn't feel like it was enough for me on this one. But anyways, mm-hmm. continue. I'm sorry.
Well, and he's also just... the reputation of Venom makes him such a big target that it actually, even if he's not the biggest target on the board, people perceive him as a fairly big target. So he ends up getting a lot more fire than he probably should, which is fine. I would prefer you send your fire into Venom than to other characters that I have on the board most 100%. Of the time.
100%. And I think that is, by and large, what Venom's utility is for me as a Web Warriors player, is someone to take the focus off of Gwen or Miles or whomever.
Yeah. And I think there's a super volley Web Warriors lineup out there that is attempting to actually attrition.
Oh, I think that does exist.
Yeah. Between all webbed up Venom and Daredevil.
Yeah.
You do a 11-point core in there, and then you're pulling in things like Ronin and Valkyrie and your other major attrition pieces. Maybe Corvus Proxima if you want to go that direction.
Oof.
And you're attempting to pull, and you're looking to pull.
Yeah.
And I think Venom fits very well in there. But otherwise, I don't think he really fits with the control style that you are looking to play as a Web Warrior player.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that it's one of those weird things where it's like, if you're playing against someone that is used to Venom, it's very easy for people to play around that. Like, if someone brings a certain type of list, like for A-Force is a very good list against Venom, most of the time, because you can play outside of that range 3. You've got like a Captain Marvel, a Crystal that has these longer range attacks.
Yeah.
You know, so you can play out of the clapback range, if you will. That's what I always call mm-hmm. it, the Venom clapback.
Yeah.
And,
but it's also some of Venom's power is in how you position him can make them answer, spend resources answering the Venom question.
Absolutely.
Rather than any of the other questions you ask.
Exactly. And it just didn't work out for Venom in this one. And I played all 3 games with Venom because I was like, I'm going to get Venom working.
Mm-hmm.
And it never worked. It never worked. Well, I say it didn't work. It worked okay in that he was just a guy. You know what I mean? Like he didn't do the awesome things that I was expecting him to do. And maybe mm-hmm. that's my own personal bias. I have this bias. I know I do. I know yeah. I do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you know, anytime I see a Venom across from me on the other side of the table, if I have energy attacks, my eyes light up. If I don't have energy attacks, I'm terrified.
Yeah. And I think especially the Web Warriors, you get terrified because he also ignores your entire affiliation, what you want to do in that entire affiliation.
Exactly. Exactly. I will say bringing my Web Warriors with us, Doctor Strange, though, I love it.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. So... Mm-hmm. Last up here, let's let's put a bow on the team tournament discussion and say, just overall, the experience, how would you categorize it?
I had so much fun.
Yeah, me too. It was very fun, and it was three games, and the times were very nice. It was like basically you had 2 hours per game and then an hour between matches. So it was a full day, a very full day, but it was fun, and it's something that I would very much look forward to doing again.
Oh, yeah.
And shout out to my teammates, quote my name over there, quote the Raven, and then Shane, thank y'all so much for making it enjoyable, making it fun, and you know, with our list building and matchup determining and all that stuff, it was just a very enjoyable experience altogether.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lexa, I think that about puts a bow on it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Yeah?
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Well, Suits, thank y'all so much for listening. And I know I've been saying it, I think, for like 3 episodes now, but in conjunction with this episode, there will be another post that will be a poll trying to figure out what our next giveaway is, because I want to go ahead and do that because I'm excited to bring you whatever you want, I guess you could say. So make sure to check that out, and it'll be a separate post from the one that gets posted with the show here. And Lexa, where can people find you?
You can find my podcast, Morlocks, which is a podcast about giving homes to lost and forgotten characters from Marvel Crisis Protocol on wherever you find podcasts. This week's episode should be out earlier today from when this is released with Monty from the House Party Protocol Discord.
Woo-woo!
If you want to hear me talk about television, reach out to me at ggypt.tumblr.com. And I am also Lexa White on all of the Discord, MCP Discords, and ggypt on all the non-MCP Discords. And then if you want me to see me play Arkmore the Card Game, come watch us at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/codabgames.
Nice. Yeah, make sure to check all that stuff out. And also, Suits, let us know at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com or on our Facebook Messenger, or if you're a patron on our Discord, what you want to hear from us. Because on these in-between releases times, you know, I try to come up with interesting things to discuss, but at the end of the day, this is a show for the Suits out there, not just to hear me talk. So let me know kind of what kind of discussion y'all want to have, if there's anything fun y'all want to do, if there's something maybe like a live roster building. I think that might be fun. Like, we could sit there and go through like building a roster on the show. Maybe that would kind of give you some insight into the process. I don't know, but y'all let me know what you're interested in, and I will make that happen. So with that, make sure to check us out on all the places, listen to us, and make sure to check out our Patreon if you're interested in that kind of a thing. It helps us continue to grow and, you know, pays for the hosting, all that good stuff, and it's really, really appreciated. I cannot express enough my gratitude to all of our patrons out there. If you're interested in becoming a patron, it's patreon.com/houseparty protocol, and it's only $12 a year is our lowest tier. So if you're interested, consider that. You'll get some extra bonus entries into our giveaways at a certain tier and all that good stuff. And then we have a Discord where we talk about hobbying, talk about Marvel Crisis Protocol, all that good stuff, and just keep it pretty chill. It's pretty nice. And also, make sure to send us messages with all the good stuff there. I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't have like a script for this outro part, so I always just kind of wing it, and I think it just comes across like genuine. It's just genuine. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
So, party on, Lexa.
Party on, Will.
And power down, Suits.